Well, good morning, everyone. This is a special day for you, from what I understand. It's a mission day, and I don't want to ruin that. It's an honor for me and also a big privilege to be here and speak from God's Word in front of you. And we'll see if this will be the same for you, since you will experience my first sermon in English. Yeah. So, if there will be something in my message that will really challenge you in a positive way, give credit to the Holy Spirit. If there will be something not that good, it's because of the language barrier. Okay, so since we are doing mission around the world, I also entitled my message in this way, map. And there is a red line that goes from St. Patrick to Prudhoe. And everybody knows what a map is, you know, and, well, young generation, and even us now, I'm not young generation anymore. We don't use a map that much. We use GPS, right? And one thing when we use GPS is we want to make sure that it's updated, because things are changing so fast. And if it's not updated, you might end up being somewhere where you don't want to go, where, you know, even they change the one-way, two-way street, and so on. Now, this is one thing with the maps. You know, they are changing all the time. They are updating in order to be useful for the person that are using them. It's not the same with the North Star. North Star is something that is going to be there always, forever. And this is something that kind of something that I want to give you to you in this morning, that allow you to see that it's an honor to walk with God into His mission that He entrusted to us as His church. And more than that, we usually say that, you know, the language barrier, it's a big deal. And sometimes it is. But people from St. Patrick that went to Romania, they realized that they could have a lot of fun and they could communicate it very well with the young children without saying a word. Just doing stuff. Just showing them that they appreciate the kids, playing with them and care for them. And then children come back and said, "Josh was so cool. You know, he was playing with us all day long." Or any other name is the same, in the same position. So sometimes it's good to say things, but sometimes it's more important to do things. And when you do things, and people feel it in a way they're supposed to be, then we transmit a very important message. And now I want to read for you something that was said long time ago, in the 4th century. And that person who said that was a very important person, was the Emperor Julian. And let me read this for you. "In the 4th century, the Emperor Julian launched a campaign to institute pagan charities in an effort to match the Christians. Julian complained in a letter to the high priest of Galatia in 362 that the pagans needed to equal the virtue of Christians, for recent Christians' growth was caused by their moral character, even if pretending, and by their benevolence towards strangers and care for the graves of the dead." In a letter to another priest, Julian wrote, "I think that when the poor happen to be neglected and overlooked by the priests, the impious Galileans observed this and devoted themselves to benevolence." And he also wrote, "The impious Galileans support not only their poor, but ours as well. Everyone can see that our people lack aid from us." Well, there is There is a verse in the Bible that kind of goes alongside with that. And it says that, let your light shine. And when people see your good deeds, even if they don't believe what you believe, even if they hate you, they will find a way to me. And they will think about me. And they will glorify my name. And this is something that we are trying to do in Romania. Because in Romania, people have different perspectives, especially in the part of Romania where we live, in the southern Romania. People have a different perception about evangelical Christians. And they think all kinds of things, not so many are good ones. But in the last couple of years, through the activities and projects that we did in the community, not in our building, but outside where they are, things started to change. And now, from, I don't want to hear about those guys, we hear statements like, well, I don't believe, I don't buy what they are doing, but, I mean, they are nice people, and I trust them to send the children in their camp. Actually, my children said they don't want to go to school with a school's camp, they want to go with them. So it must be something nice. And recently, we organized an event in a very open space, public area, in the land that we bought for our future building. And we had almost 80 children. That was the biggest number we ever had. But what was very encouraging for us, and for me particularly, was the comments of the parents that were with their children and that were staying the whole time and watch what we are doing. And then they came back and said, thank you. Thank you for organizing these such nice activities for my children. And we just shared the story of the Easter through games with those children. It was a special moment for us. It was another starting point. We realized that when you do what actually Jesus said we should do, just love people, they will think different about you. So the concern for us is, make sure that the only offense, if there will be any offense, the only offense for the people from outside of church is the message of the gospel, not everything else. Anything else should not be an obstacle for them. Saying this, I want to start a little bit from where we are as a church, as a new people in Christ. And I assume that everybody agree with that we used to be dead, but now God gave us life. And that means I no longer belong to myself, which is huge, which is so hard to accept. My toughest challenge in my life is to give up on myself. And I realize that everything that goes wrong in my life, it's connected with that, somehow. The moment I give up on myself, I say, okay, I was dead, so the life I have now belongs to Jesus. Things change entirely. He purchased me, so now I belong to Him. My new life is totally in connection with His purpose. His purpose is to find and save the lost, loving them, accepting them, and offer them life. He decided He wants to fulfill His purpose. I don't know why. I'm still looking for an answer. But He decided to do this through people, through us, the ones that experienced His new life. He delegated His mission to the church, and He promised He will be with us until the very end. Now, this is something that Nick particularly, but a lot of us knows, but if you coach people, one of your aim, one of your purpose is to make sure that there will be a day when your disciple will disciple other people. They will become trainers. And Jesus just did that. He was with us for a while, with the apostle, and then when He went back to heaven, to the Father, He said, go make disciples. But remember, I would be with you until the very end. You're not going to be alone. So he delegated the mission of loving people and guiding them towards him, to me and to you. Because this is something that I think theoretically we know, but practically we tend to forget, that the church is you. The church is not what's happening only this morning. The church is you in all this area from Monday to Sunday. And when God said, go and make disciples, actually, as far as I know, the right translation would be, while you are going, make disciples. So it's a natural process. Whatever you are, whatever you are doing, make disciples. He wants from you to do whatever it takes in order to carry on his plan, to fulfill his purpose. Because, again, this is not about you. It's about him and the ones he died for. Now, some of the things I'm sure they are, or maybe all of them, are not new for you. But it's something that we need to understand and we need to remind ourselves pretty often, because we tend to forget that. And we tend to think that, okay, there are some activities that St. Patrick is doing, and I want to make sure that I will bring my friend there, which is a good thing, to allow your friend to experience your community. But the mission wasn't just for David or for the mission board or for the team that came across to Romania. The mission is for each of you and every each of us. Now, one thing that I tend to think that you guys from UK kind of understand better than we do, because you have a queen, is the fact that it's really a high honor to know that you are on the mission with the highest loyalty. These kind of things is not that well understand, that honor thing in Romania, because we don't have, we did in the very long time ago, in the very past, but now we don't have that, and it's a little bit not that easy to understand that honor thing. But for us, I assume it would be a little bit easier. So it's not a responsibility, it's not an obligation, it's something that I can't believe the King of Heavens asked me to join him. Is this about this honor that we should have? It's what Paul said, you know, when I look back, there is nothing, nothing compared with what I have now. Now, I want to move a little bit further, and I want to do the reading, and I think somebody will do the reading for us. And the text, it's one very dear to me, and I hope we'll manage to clarify a little bit more what Paul intended to say into this passage.
The reading is written in the first letter to Corinthians, chapter 9. Beginning at verse 19, and is to be found on page 1151 in the Church Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much. Now, I want to read a little bit the same passage, but in a kind of a different way. And would be like this. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the children, I become like a child to win the children. To those under 18, teenagers, I become like one under 18, though I myself am not under 18, so as to win those under 18. To those not having a family, I become like one not having a family, though I'm not without a family, so as to win those not having a family. To the weak, I become weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share its blessing. In other words, I have the adaptability and capability to address anyone from the place where he is, not from where I am, or from where I want him to be. Now, I want to see in this passage with me few things. One is the motivation, which is really important in everything. And we know that very well in our personal relationships. The attitude, the motivation is really important. And Paul says that the motivation would be for the sake of the gospel. In other words, for the sake of the Lord. We want to be part in that mission. And that's something that is really important for us. And in Colossians 4:3, it says, "And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt." Paul always had in mind this idea for the sake of the mission. And he wasn't in a very good condition when he said that. Have you realized that it's hard to find in the Bible places where God's people will pray for themselves? They rather would say, "Pray for me so that I can be a blessing for others." I didn't see Paul saying, "Pray for me, so make sure that they will release me sooner." He said, no, I am there, and I want to make sure I do something really important there, while I'm there. Now, another thing that we are doing is that we are praying for others to carry on the mission. But the thing is that we should be able, and we should be in a stage where whenever we pray for that, we want to make sure that we are ready to be part of God's answer to that prayer. And that's a little bit different. Also, so this is the motivation, love God and love people. Now, another thing that I see in that passage, which is really important for us as a church, is the approach that Paul is having. And the approach is by all possible means, which is kind of hard sometimes to understand how long or how much is too much. But Paul is saying, the only thing I care is I want to know that I love God and I do whatever it takes to make sure that others realize that from God, the love of God from them. And this is something that he's concerned about. So when he says, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ," and when we think we want to follow Paul, then we need to make sure that we follow this idea by all possible means. And that is something that usually is not that easy to do. And in any place, of course, could be extreme in every aspect, but this is something that I would say it's really important. "To this you're called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." And if we watched what Jesus did in the gospel and how he treated people and how he went in places where no other religious leader went, and when we see Paul and the way that he treated the one that Christ died for them, I would say we have plenty of information in order to know exactly what God is expecting from us in order to fulfill his mission. Well, in all this approach, our theology remained the same, just our methodology should change, because times are changing. You know, I want people to fall in love with the author of the scripture, but I have no control over that. The only thing I can do is I set up dates. So it's not about me, it's about others. And time is running. Last things I want to say, it's the purpose. I want to make sure that in everything I do, I have in mind this simple but unchangeable purpose: to win as many as possible for Christ. So I don't know you, and I don't know a lot of you, and I don't know in what stage of your life you are and what place in your spiritual journey you are. But I know one thing, that there was somebody that said he was God, and he came into this world in order to solve the problem of our rebellion, and in order to make peace with us and with God. And that's Jesus. And he said, what I did to you, I wanted to do to everybody else who is ready to accept my gift. And this is the purpose. I want to make sure that everybody knows about that gift, and everybody has a chance to understand exactly what that gift is. And then it's really, it's up to them if they accept it or not. This is basically the whole thing I wanted to share with you. And I really appreciate that when the team from St. Patrick came to Romania, they didn't come and say, okay, here what we're going to do. You just follow us. But they were always ready to ask, okay, what are you guys doing here? What is working here? What is the best place for us to fit in? How can we help you, serve you the better? That's the approach. Because it's not about them, and it's not about how important they are being there. It's about those little children that they need to be exposed to this gift. And make sure then, somehow, someday, most of them, some of them, will accept that gift. God bless you. And I want to say just a very short prayer. I want to lead you in this prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity you give us to serve with you, alongside with you. And I want to make sure that all my life and this congregation and the Prodeo congregation will see this call as the highest honor that you provided for us. Amen. Thank you.